of all the things that moms do, there's one thing that a mom does throughout the life of her child, and that is to protect them at all costs. A mom will protect her child at all costs. There's a perfect story that illustrates this point. In June of 2016, the Aspen Times reported the following story, and I'm going to read it to you. A Colorado woman managed to fight off a mountain lion that was attacking her 5-year-old son. During the harrowing rescue, she reached into the animal's mouth and wrestled her son's head from its jaws. The child was playing outside with his brother when his mother heard the sound of screaming. Police said in a statement, she rushed outside to find a mountain lion on top of her son, her 5-year-old son. The woman charged the animal, yanked away one of its paws, and discovered her son's whole head was in its mouth. The paper reported that she was then physically able to remove her son from the mountain lion's mouth. She was able to pry the cat's jaws open. The deputy that came and took the report said she was a hero. The child sustained some injuries to his face, his head, and his neck, but he was in fair condition. According to the police, he was transferred into the hospital with these injuries. His mother sustained minor injuries to her legs and hands. Isn't that an incredible story of a mom protecting her child? But today I want to focus on a story that we find in the Word of God. And it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I'm going to go back and forth, and I'm going to read a little portion of the scripture, and then I'm going to talk to you about it. So I'm not going to have you stand this morning because it's kind of going to be a little bit different. And in 2 Samuel chapter 21, there's a wonderful story of a woman called Rizpah. See, her story could easily be overlooked and looked at as that of a crazy woman. If you read it, you might think, this woman is psycho. This woman is crazy. What is she doing? The Bible tells us that Rizpah lived during the days of King David. But prior to the reign of King David, there was a king by the name of Saul. How many remember Saul? Saul had a life. King Saul, while he was king, tried to destroy a group of people called the Gibeonites. Rizpah was one of Saul's concubines. She had two sons by Saul. And at this time in scripture that the scripture is talking about, Saul is dead and King David becomes king. As chapter 21 opens, there's a famine in Israel, a famine that had been going on for 3 years. 3 years into this famine, the Bible says that King David, in the midst of this famine, realizes that this is probably some kind of a judgment from the Lord. So what does he do? He seeks God's face. And the Lord tells David the reason for the famine was because of Saul's sin and his blood-stained household. It was because of the slaying of the Gibeonites. See, what the Lord was talking about was a covenant that Joshua had made with the Gibeonites shortly after Israel had entered into the promised land and defeated Jericho. In the name of the Lord, Joshua swore that Israel would always protect the Gibeonites. Well, 400 years later, when Saul takes reign, things changed. As you remember from Saul, towards the end of his life, he was ruled by pride, self-will, and ungodly desires. And so Saul breaks the covenant, and he attempts to annihilate the Gibeonites. This is why God had brought the famine into the land. God's people had broken a covenant that they had made in his name. So David, King David, steps up to the plate, and King David is now on the throne. And so he asks the Gibeonites to come into his throne room so he can make amends for what Saul had done. David is trying to make amends. He's trying to make things better. But this is what the Gibeonites say. They say to him, we don't want your money. We don't want your riches. We don't want what you are coming to make, trying to make amends with. And so what they ask for, they say, we want 7 of Saul's descendants. Are you getting this? They say to him, we want 7 of Saul's descendants to be delivered to us so that we can kill them and hang them on a tree. Their goal, you see, was to disgrace the house of Saul. To disgrace the house of Saul. David agrees to these terms. And so David hands over 7 men to the Gibeonites. And 2 of these men were sons of Rispa. 2 of these young men were sons of Rispa. So we pick up the story in 2 Samuel, verse 8, chapter 21, verse 8. And it says this: so the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, I probably messed that up, sorry, the 2 sons of Rispa, the daughter of Ahab, whom she bore to Saul, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell, all 7 together, and they were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. See, what we need to understand here is that there are times in our lives that we pay for the choices of the generation before us. There's times when we suffer the consequences of bad decisions that were made by those that came before us. See, Saul's sons, they didn't kill anyone. They were not the ones that made the decision to break the covenant. But it's because of what their father had done. Now their generation is having to pay for it. The choices that one generation makes affects the generation that comes after them. In verse 10, it says, now Rispa, the daughter of Onah, took the sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the late rains poured it on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. We need to recognize something about this lady, about this amazing mother, that after her sons die, the Bible says that she takes burlap, she takes sackcloth. Get this, church. We need to grasp this moment. We need to get this and understand what this signifies. She takes burlap, the word of God says, and she spreads it in front of where her sons are dead. She lays it out. She lays out the burlap. Why? Why is she laying out the burlap? The Bible says that during the day, this mother would stand there with a stick, and she would shoo away the birds. Imagine the 2 sons hanging there. They're dead. They're gone. Their bodies begin to smell. And yet this mother, instead of going home and grieving like anyone else would say she had the right to do, the Word of God says that she stands vigil. She stands vigil, and when the birds, the vultures come to pull flesh from her dead sons, the Bible says that she stands there with a stick and she chews them away. She shoos them away. She hits them and she says, not here, not here, not now. Ladies, grasp this. Grasp this. This is a spiritual concept that God is teaching us in His Word. And He's saying to us today, grab up the stick that I've put in your hands. Get the stick that I've laid before you and chew away those vultures that are coming near your child this morning. The Bible says that in the evening, she fought off wild beasts. She didn't go home at night. She didn't take her sackcloth and say, man, it's windy out here. It's cold out here. I'm grieving. I'm in pain. I need to go home and take a bath. No, the Bible says that she stayed there during the day and during the night. Hallelujah. She stayed there and she fought off the enemies that were coming against her children. Hallelujah. The reason she did that was because in the Jewish tradition, there was 3 ways that a person would die and that there would be no hope of resurrection. Hallelujah. The first way was to be lost at sea. The second way was if they were burned by fire. And the third way was to be eaten by wild beasts. Do you see why she was doing it? Do you see why she was doing it? Hallelujah. Rispa was still fighting, and she was still hoping for her sons, even after they were dead. She was still hoping and praying and fighting for her sons, even after they were dead. See, Rispa fought for the hope and the promise of the resurrection. She was fighting still for the promise of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are there any mothers in this place today that can relate to Rispa's story? Are there any mothers in the house today that can say, I'm there. I'm with Rispa. I'm in that season of Rispa. Hallelujah. How many days have you fought off the spiritual vultures to keep them from devouring your son or daughter, moms, this morning? How many here today can look at your children and weep when you see them spiritually decaying and dying before you? How many long nights have you cried out to God in hopes of fighting off the vicious attacks that the enemy has set against your children? Hallelujah. Are there any Rispas in the house that can say amen this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word this morning. Hallelujah. Rispa, like any mother, must have had hopes and dreams, right? As moms, we all have hopes and dreams and aspirations for our children. Rispa, like any mother, had hopes and dreams for her sons. When they died, those hopes and dreams turned to grief. Can you imagine the grief that this woman felt as she had to stand by and watch her son's bodies decaying and smelling? She couldn't turn away. Hallelujah. She couldn't turn away and not remember, because even when she turned away, the smell of the rotting flesh was still upon her nostrils. Wherever she turned, I can imagine that Rispa could still smell that smell. So she couldn't forget, even though she tried, even though she maybe have wanted to, because the grief was so great. She could not forget, because their flesh had rotted. Hallelujah. Are there any Rispas in the house that could say, I smell that. I see that. I'm watching my child decay before my eyes, Pastor Sylvia. And I see, I'm standing in the place of Rispa this morning. The Bible makes no mention. Take note of this morning, church. The Bible makes no mention that anyone else was there, which implies that there was no one else that was concerned that these boys were going to be eaten by vultures. There was no one else that was there standing vigil and guard over the bodies. Think about it. The word tells us that there were seven of Saul's descendants. Remember that? There were seven of Saul's descendants that were put to death from two women. From two women. There was two moms involved. But only one was named Rispa. Only one had the determination that you might have killed my sons, but I'm not going to watch the birds tear the flesh off of their bodies. Hallelujah. So what happens next? We find in verse 11, and it says this, and David was told what Rispa, the daughter of Onah, had done, the concubine of Saul had done. Then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonah, the son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Beth Shan, where the Philistines had hung them up after the Philistines had struck down Saul in Gilboa. So he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. And they gathered the bones of those that had been hanged. They buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, in the country of Benjamin and Zelah, in the tomb of Kish, his father. So they performed all that the king had commanded. And after that, God heeded the prayer for the land. You see, after 6 months, because the season of harvest was 6 months, after 6 months of standing watch over her son's dead, decaying bodies, the Bible says that King David hears about it. He hears about Rispa's vigil, and he sends out orders to have their bodies taken down. Not only did he send out orders to have their bodies taken down and buried, but he says, bury them with the kings. Bury them with the kings. Bury them with royalty, as royalty. They didn't have a regular burial site, no. They were placed among kings. They were placed among kings. Mom, the word to you this morning is this, don't lose heart. When all hope seems lost, and you're standing by and watching your child being dragged away by the enemy, let the spirit of the warrior of Rispa rise up within you and fight with all that is within you. Take the stick that represents this morning the word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. Take that stick, and with that stick, beat off the enemy. Beat off the enemy. Don't let him come near your children. Hallelujah. Are there any rispas in the house this morning? Can you say amen? Are there any step rispas that will fight this morning? Are there any step rispas that will fight for that child that's been brought into your life because of circumstances as if they were your own flesh and blood? Are there any single mom rispas in the house this morning that will continue to fight through the exhaustion that comes from doing it on your own? Are there any rispas that have been fighting for your children this morning? For years you've been fighting because of bad decisions that your child or your children have made. You're now fighting on behalf of your grandchildren. Are there any rispa grandmothers in the house this morning? Are there any rispas that are fighting for your household this morning? You're fighting for a home that seems to be, that the enemy is having a field day and destroying your home. Are there any rispas in the house this morning? I'm not going to keep you long because I know you all want to go and celebrate with your moms. You all want to go, and some of the kids are sitting in here and they're hungry. They want to go eat, right, guys? They want to go eat. And I'm not going to keep you this morning, but I'm going to give you this word of caution to the younger generation. See, my generation, we've already made our mistakes. We've made our mistakes. We've had our blunders. We've made big mistakes. And unfortunately, some of you younger ones are paying for our mistakes. This morning, on behalf of every parent that has made a mistake, on behalf of every parent that has made a bad decision, I apologize to you this morning. I apologize for our lack of dedication to the Lord. I apologize for making bad decisions where we choose drugs over you. I apologize for bad decisions where we don't hang in because we think that we want something better and we go into another place. I apologize to you this morning, and I ask you to forgive us. Don't let rebellion and anger fall into your heart because of decisions that we've made. And I'm asking you, young people that are here this morning, to do better than us. I'm asking you this morning to do better than us. The young adults like Michael and Isa and Carlo. And I'm not picking on you guys, I'm just naming you because you're in that group. Like my daughter, Victoria, like little V. I'm asking you this morning from the bottom of my heart to make better decisions than we made. That you would rise up with the spirit of rispa for your generation. And remember that every decision that you make affects those that are coming up before you. Every decision that you make will affect those little ones before you. That precious little one right there, Michael, that you're looking at so lovingly, someday will grow up and look at you and look at the dad that's holding him, right? Someday my little nephew Andrew, who's sitting back there, will look at Stephen and Tori and his parents and say, what have they done? What are their lives like? He'll follow that because that'll be his heritage. That'll be his legacy. What legacy are you leaving your children this morning? What are you leaving? Have you given up, moms, this morning? I know it's a hard job. It's a hard job to raise up kids. As much as you love them, as much as you treasure them, as much as you're thankful for them, it's a tough job. My mom and dad used to say that it never ends. Even after we got married, they'd say, oh, it never ends. It never ends. I'm like, thanks for that word, Mom. But it never ends. It never ends. And so the only way that we can obtain that spirit of wispa is through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. And I know that there's some of you that are weary this morning. I see it. I feel it in my spirit that there's some of you that are tired. You're saying, Pastor Sylvia, I've been doing this thing for 4 years already alone. Pastor Sylvia, I've watched my kids make so many bad decisions And now I'm watching my grandkids pay for them. I'm tired. I feel like I don't even have the words anymore to breathe another prayer before the throne room. I don't know what to say. So I'm going to give you some advice, because I've experienced this personally, even just this week, that when I don't know what to say, I just come before God and I say, Holy Spirit, speak and pray through me this morning. Because when I don't know what to pray, you know exactly what to pray. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, as someone comes to the piano or the worship team wants to come up again and begin to sing softly the altar song, how many of you are going to step forward this morning, moms, and say, I'm going to come up close to that sackcloth representing that I'm not giving up. I'm going to come close and stand here by the sackcloth and this stick this morning, and that's going to represent that I'm not giving up. That I'm a stepmom and I've made some bad mistakes. I've said things in front of my stepchildren about their mom, about their birth mom, that I need to ask God to forgive me. And I need to ask those children to forgive me. And I need to commit that I will never speak words against their mother, no matter what she is or what she does. I will never speak a bad word in front of those children, because you're breaking their heart. I don't know why I'm saying that. All I know is that I know that their hearts get broken when that happens. I know that their hearts get torn to pieces because they love you, but they love their mommy. So I'm asking you this morning, as the worship team comes up and it begins to sing softly, that you would come up and allow me to pray with you this morning. Just come up and stand here, ladies. Don't wait for a long-winded invitation. That's already been given. That's already been given. Just come, because God can do in an instant what we are not able to do in years. Hallelujah. 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 Keep coming. I know there's more.